Backseat Producers, episode 269, Life of Pi.
You know what else I love? Arrested Development.
I need to start my rewatch.
I know.
I haven't started
my rewatch yet. I've been putting it off. I don't know why.
You got 3.5 weeks.
I know. It's 2.5 seasons. They're only like 20-minute episodes, though. God damn.
Yeah, it took us like... Because Julie and I watched the first season in one shot. And it took us like 2 or 3 episodes before we realized that the previously on had absolutely nothing to do with the previous episode. And it was just stuff that happened in between the 2 episodes, which was like, oh man, this is awesome. We have to pay attention to every bit of this now, because this is stuff that matters, sort of.
Well, show us Clobber. It's like the first season of Community. First or second season of Community.
This season of Community
really
is
clever.
Weak.
Yeah, it's been terrible.
I haven't watched the last, I think we got like 4 or 5 episodes out there.
Mm-hmm. My favorite Community is, there's one episode where Abed's not in it. He's in the background doing stuff. He delivers a baby. Hey, what have you been doing? Oh, I delivered a baby this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen somebody put together all the clips for that. And have you seen the Breaking Bad Legos? Lego video game? That's pretty great. I would totally fucking play that.
I would also rock.
Achievement. The one who knocks. That was...
Did you hear about the video game tycoon? Game dev tycoon?
I saw you posted about it, so I Googled it. Because I was like... And then I saw somebody else mention it, so I was like, ah, what is going on here?
It's great.
That's fantastic.
I bought the game today just to support those guys.
That's awesome. Yeah,
take my money and continue to do funny things.
That kind of clever thinking is more of what the industry needs, and doing stuff like that to prevent piracy
is so much more effective.
A great way to do it, because now you don't know if what you get out there is the real one or not, and fuck, you could just be wasting your time.
And you post to the forums, and everybody makes fun of you. That's just great. And they sent me an in-game mail.
Really?
Hey, thanks for supporting our game. Helping us get off the ground.
Awesome.
Your game is okay. Of course, I only played the tutorial. So.
Alright, so what do we want to do next?
I thought we were doing...
Well, I've got the list here.
Lincoln?
I don't know that we're doing... We hadn't picked
Lincoln.
The order.
Mm-hmm.
We can do Lincoln. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to cross off.
Life of Pi.
Life of Pi. I'm reading Silver Linings Playbook.
Really? I picked up Waiting for Godot.
Good for you.
Because.
Godot for you.
Dude, it works like. I saw this play the other day and it was really depressing. You shouldn't see it. Alright. The play, I'm gonna read it.
One of the things that's weird about the book. So you've seen the movie.
Yeah.
You know how kind of flaky he is?
Mm-hmm.
It's written first person.
Oh, come on.
And it is that flaky. And like the first 2 chapters, I'm like, I don't know if I'm down for this. But now I've kind of gotten into it just because it's like, all right, you get the character, and it's like, I can get behind it.
The other weird thing is
the Jennifer Lawrence chick in the book, she's older than him.
I kind of got that she was older in the show or in the movie.
Jennifer Lawrence is like 22.
So? You know, she wasn't playing Jennifer Lawrence, right?
Well, I know that.
And Bradley Cooper
but she
wasn't
was
playing himself.
Yeah, but Bradley Cooper, the character is supposed to be in his 30s. There's no way.
You ever seen Vampire Diaries?
That character is supposed to be in his mid-30s. there's no way that Jennifer Lawrence passed for anything anywhere near 30, let alone late 30s.
Seems a minor point to me.
What's interesting is the character in the movie is more believable at the age that she's at than being in her late 30s,
yeah,
as she should be in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's generally mellow with age, which is weird. Not what you'd expect, but fucking crazy when they're young, and then they mellow, and they get crazy again.
Are you playing a long game then?
It's like the crazy parabola.
Does that mean you're playing the long game?
Men are consistently crazy. Somewhere in the middle. We just become more perverse about the crazy. Like, we get more normal.
More honest about it.
We just get perverse. Find new ways to act out.
You learn what you can get away with more.
That's right.
And you learn,
that's not fun.
And then you learn risk assessment.
Yeah. Then the thrill is going. You have to go hunt down a new something.
All right, I'm ready when you guys are.
Okay.
I'm ready, man. I'm on a boat.
In the river.
Just wanted to record a few seconds of silence so I can use it to do the noise reduction.
Okay.
That's all. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Daryl.
And this is David.
And we are the Backseat Producers. And Deuce is with us in spirit and in email.
Mm-hmm.
I don't dig his assessment of this movie.
But he's at a Deftones concert. So.
Oh, come on.
Yep, lucky him.
Which, you know what? I'd never heard any Deftones music until I told him that. And he's like, here's a couple of samples. Because
really?
Through Google Music...
No, you can share samples.
You can share... If you've bought the song, you could share it one time with one... You can share a song... One time with a person. I don't know if you can share it with multiple people, but like, so he shared a couple of songs with me from songs that he had bought. So that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, and he just sent it to me through like the G chat or the not G plus. He sent it through
G
plus.
He's bringing all that Google plus.
He is. He is. And yeah, I was able to listen to a couple of songs. I was able to listen to a couple of songs and I enjoyed them. So
did you make out them?
The songs?
Yeah, all of it. Songs, Deuce, bit. The Deftones, everything all at once.
Yeah, we had a party this afternoon. You guys pre-show.
Did you guys watch Lincoln in it?
Yeah. Because
that's what we're going to do for next week.
Yes, we are. Lincoln next week. And eventually, Silver Linings Playbook, Beast of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, and Cloud Atlas.
We should probably not watch Lincoln and then Django Unchained.
Or should we?
Beast of the Southern Wild. That seems to me like poor taste.
We should probably mix those up a little bit. Just spread those out.
Oh, we could have done Life of Pi and then Beast of the Southern Wild, then Django Unchained, then Lincoln. It would have been less racist.
Yeah.
Like, connect the dots.
Connect the racist dots.
Connect the racist
connect
dots.
Connect the accidental racist
but dots. Ways, but this way we have a theme.
All right, so I was thinking about this earlier this week. Critical Mass needs to do a... parody cover of Accidental Racist.
Intentional Racist.
Or Accidental Racist Elves and Dwarves. Mm-hmm. Have it being an elf and a dwarf being accidentally racist to each other.
You know, you
but
could spin
really
it
on purpose.
Further. Like, Accidental Humanist, where like you have a series of experiences and then you treat people, you know,
doesn't,
like people.
Doesn't involve... doesn't involve tigers and boats?
It doesn't, no.
Oh, nuts. You could tie
accidental sexist.
This.
Be a feminist and a chauvinist.
It's too... So the thing
trite.
Is, that Tim mentioned has a song like that where it's... Damn it, I can't remember what
too
it's called.
Too obvious.
But like, so he sings the song and all of the song is... Oh, it's called Context. Mm. He sings the song and the song is goddamn horrible. And then like he's on stage and he's singing and he's like, this doesn't sound like what I wrote. And then he unfolds the music and he had it folded over... And so he unfolds it, and then he sings it
nice.
Again, and it's not horrible.
Nice.
Didn't mention it's clever.
All right, so do we want to start talking about this, and then
I think we should
Deucey,
do high level, and then, like, Deuce has got a summary line here at the bottom, which I think is awful, that I'll read for his high
modest
level.
Opinion.
All right, why don't we do that? Why don't we start with that?
All right, so Deuce says his high level is, all in all, an amazing film. Too complex for the Oscars. I'm glad it won anything at all. It reminds me of those films that are usually too good to be recognized at the Oscars.
Yeah, I don't think that's at all
I don't
right.
think that's happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that's what happened here.
I disagree with that statement.
Yes, that is wrong. Most of his analysis, I think he reads a lot more into the movie than was there. Yeah. What did you think? Tell me.
I did not want to watch this movie.
It's
I was very clear about
it.
After seeing the movie, I was glad I saw it because I was not aware of what the theme of the movie was, and I really liked the theme of the movie.
Really?
I did. I did like the theme of the movie. But I also thought that the visuals were lacking.
Really?
Really. Mm.
I thought the animal movements were wholly unreal. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah. I had a real hard time with the special effects.
Hold on. When you say animal effects, do you mean everything but the tiger or including the tiger?
The close-up stuff of the tiger was good. Some of the faraway stuff was less good. Like when... All right, so an example is when the first time we see the tiger in the cell, in that area when the father comes running in and slams the door shut, and the tiger takes off with the goat and like runs away. The movement was really awkward. I just didn't. It seemed fake. Like it was too precise, and some of the other animal movements were even more so. The orangutan was. I had a hard time watching it. Whenever it did movements, especially when they were on the boat, which they're obviously not going to put those animals in harm's way. They're going to use special effects. I have a problem with it, but it was for the level of effects that can be done, I thought, I don't know, it just didn't, it didn't impress me.
This is the worst high-level review I've ever heard.
Follow-up was asked, so yes.
That was a lot. I love it, but maybe not focus on the CGI of like one or two animals. High level.
Boy, I came in this Lake Tony with kind of with no expectations at all. Blown away by it. I disagree, Tony. This movie's visuals are stunning. I mean, if you're watching it in high def on a good sized TV, you just can't pull yourself away from it. I didn't notice the animals being movements being that crude or anything. To tell you the truth, I'm not really focusing on them very much. They're just props in the story. The story is pretty much revolves around Pi and everything that goes on with him. I mean, all the other special effects around him look like were wonderful. And there were some that are just like burning to your mind, such as when he's floating in the middle of the underneath the water and he's watching the ship go down with all the lights on and everything. That was
spectacular.
Yep. And when the whale comes up between him and the boat and then broaches right over top of him, that was pretty amazing too. I mean, there's a lot of little touches in this movie you don't expect to happen, and then boom, they do. It knocks you out of the out of your complacency because you're sitting in a boat. Well, the story's taking place in a boat in the middle of the ocean where there's no features, just clouds, water, and sky. And the two characters, and then suddenly something comes along and just knocks you out of that scene.
Hmm. What do you think?
So I ended up liking this movie, although there are a lot of aspects of it that really turned me off, which we'll get into.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you do a high-level review, guys. Done.
All right.
So where do you want to start?
I think we should probably save...
I think Richard Deuce's Parker thoughts. Is the main character of the story, by the way.
All right, so...
I don't think Richard Parker is the main character of the story.
No.
I didn't have a problem with Richard Parker's CGI. We have a lot of cats.
There were points of the CGI that were spectacular, like the jellyfish. I love the glowing jellyfish. Mm-hmm. The cinematography of this movie was amazing.
Oh, yeah, it was incredible.
It was just a beautifully shot movie. Mm-hmm. The scenes were amazing.
Yeah, it was very pretty. I dug it.
Told a good visual story. You understood. I was never confused by what was going on because there were some action-packed little sequences. It was never really, you know, there was no confusion about any of that. It was just well done.
Well told story.
A visually well told story.
Well, this is what film is all about.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not a narrative. It is a visual narrative.
There was a lot of art of the art, visual art in this movie.
Yes.
A lot of movies don't have that because they don't need it, but this movie benefited from it.
It heavily. Needed it.
It really did.
It needed it because the story is pretty faux simple. Deep. Yeah.
they pitch it to you as though this was a deep, life-changing event, only it's really not.
No.
And this is my irritation with this story, and it's not because I'm anti-religious. It's because I think the point of this movie is he presents this as evidence for why he believes and feels a certain way, but admits at the end that all of this is a lie that he chooses to believe in lieu of something else.
Yes.
So,
and I think that's, you know what? I think it's actually pretty amazing. And I think this movie is damning of religion in some ways.
Hmm. How so?
He's believing a lie instead of accepting something else because he doesn't want to.
Yeah. All right. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
The whole movie is about a lie. It's the story that really happens and the story that you want to believe. Which is better? And which do you accept to go on believing after things have happened? Because one makes you feel better and one kind of sucks ass. And that's the whole point of the story that he tells to the
writer.
Canadian writer. Which,
who is the writer?
Don't get me started on that because that was terrible.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That was
that was really bad. Yeah. Why is this guy a writer and needs to find people to tell him stories? That's stupid.
You know, well, he said it in the beginning. He said he was working on a novel for several years, and he just got close to the end and decided it was all crap.
Maybe he needs to go find a real job. Yeah, because he's obviously not a writer.
Hold on. That's essentially what happened to George R. R. Martin several years ago in the last Game of Thrones book.
Yeah, he was three quarters terrible.
He got to his first draft of it. He got all the just about to the end and decided it was crap. Threw it all out, started all over again.
Yeah, he shouldn't have thrown it out because what he produced was awful.
Well, so, we don't know what he produced. We never saw what he produced before, so we don't know what he produced.
What he threw away could not be worse. Anyway, so I don't actually mind that. Like, I'm okay with that plot device. Hey, I'm going to interview you about something that happened earlier in your life, and then you're going to give me, like, a first-person account. I don't have a problem with that.
We've all seen Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, and it can work not this way. Like, there's a lot of ways you could have gone with this. I'm having a spiritual crisis. Somebody told me to come talk to you about whatever. Or, I was mauled by a tiger. Someone told me to come talk to you about whatever. And then in the end, it turns out that, like, the tiger
Siegfried
wasn't real.
Siegfried and Roy walked in. Yeah. We need to talk to you.
Like, riding Manticore. So, like, there was a lot of better ways to go about that. But thankfully, those things were mostly brief. So, fine with it.
Yeah.
Well, those are just hooks to get us into the movie itself.
They need an excuse to tell the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm fine with it. You know, all right. First off, I've already paid $15 to see the movie, so I kind of feel like we should just get into it. Like, I'm already here, so I'm already invested in the movie. I'm a financial investment in this movie already. So, so that part was all right. I don't think I finished before, but I dug the tiger. We have a lot of cats, and a lot of the mannerisms were subtle. I think quality CGI tiger, quality CGI big cat.
It was really the big movements that I had the problems with. When they were moving quick, when they were moving, like, there's one point when the orangutan gets knocked around and it's like flipping around on a pole and it's like, that just didn't look right.
I didn't like the other animals.
Yeah. So, there are two stories that get told through the course of the movie. There's the story that he tells through the whole movie, and it's all related to these insurance guys who he needs to tell the story to, and then they're like, you know what? We don't believe this story. There's no way that this story can happen. That you tame a tiger on a boat, that you come to a carnivorous island that's floating that no one's ever seen before or since, that no one can, there's no proof of it. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, this is, it's not that no proof. It's just hard. It just sort of stretches credibility, yes.
Yes.
But given...
Like a 10-year-old kid at this point, too.
But given what he's been through, how can we say that it doesn't? I mean, he survived 200-some days on a boat with a tiger. And, I mean, how can you not add this sort of, oh, yeah, we hit this island that dissolves all
right.
people?
So let's break this down right now. Which story was the truth and which story was...
Well, which one sounds more plausible?
No.
Versus...
Which one was the truth? There's clearly one story that was the truth.
Yeah.
And one story that wasn't.
Yeah. Clearly the story that was the truth was the one where there were no animals.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Clearly the truth.
We're all clear on that.
I didn't even think that it was end of Inception style. It could go either way.
No.
I am fairly certain it is conclusive. That is what really happened, and this other story is a lie. Like, I'm fairly certain that happened. It's been a while since I've seen the movie.
No.
But I feel comfortable saying that.
Yeah, I do too. What do you think?
I think the first one is the better one.
Whoa, that's
the first one. Because that's the only one we see.
But that's the point of the story. That's the point of the whole movie, though. It's not a matter of which one is true. It's a matter of which one do we want to believe. Which is kind of his point about religion. It's not about what's true. It's about what we want to believe.
It's about what makes you feel better.
What makes you feel better? What can make you sleep at night?
And that's why his father was so adamant that he should study rationality first in order to form the basis. And in the end, he finally realizes that.
I don't think he does.
I don't think so.
I think choosing to adhere to the lie is a rejection of that rationality.
I agree. I agree with what you just said. Because I don't believe that the tiger was real. I believe it was all a metaphor for his savagery guilt. And guilt and the things that he had to do, that he felt he had to do.
So
it was a way to mentally compartmentalize the terrible things that he had to do, and he did so, and the metaphor of the tiger dying and the tiger going away and walking off into the forest without even saying goodbye.
It's him letting go of his savagery.
He doesn't feel like he's really had closure with that part of himself. He knows that he had to do terrible things, and they just went away. He never got closure with that, and that's a problem for him. But it's still better that it just walked off and has never returned. And his life is better for it.
Yeah. I disagree with Deuce.
I don't think this is an intellectual film.
I just disagree with what I think the point of this movie was.
Yeah, so...
Go ahead and read his thing.
All right.
I'm going to scratch my leg like a madman.
Oh, yeah.
Everything I'm going to say here is all from him. I think it's a very intellectual film. I know Adam said it was religious propaganda. I completely disagree. For a film to demonstrate that a man's admitted fantastical memory could double as legitimate faith because it is the quote-unquote better story is actually almost insulting to people of faith.
Agree.
It is insulting to people of faith.
And I agree.
But that is exactly what... I believe that's exactly what they were showing in this.
Yes. And I think a lot of people missed that point.
I tend to agree with you. Okay, back to his email. But I don't think that's what it is about. I don't really think it is about religion. And it is only about faith to the extent that Pi was a faithful creature throughout the film, and that trait did not change, and the main character has to be faithful for the story's underlying questions to work.
I disagree. You know, we're going paragraph by paragraph. I disagree with this, too.
I'm going to have to disagree with it, too.
I don't disagree with his first two points, because I don't think it's about religion.
I also don't think it's about religion, necessarily.
So I agree with what he says there. I don't even think it's about faith. I think it's about belief. Because he doesn't really have to have faith in anything to understand that he's lying to himself. He knows that he's lying to himself. And yes. He knows that there are things beyond what he can see, and he just chooses to believe that versus believing in nothing.
I think there's a lot. There's too much emphasis placed on the religion. Like, the movie starts out, I will tell you how God proved that he exists to me. Okay. So, like, the first 5 minutes of the film, it's like, you've already made what I consider to be a ridiculous assertion.
Except you're also listening to his story when, in the end, you know that he will tell you a story just because he believes that it's the better story to hear. This is a fantastic example of a dishonest narrator.
Yeah, he's quite unreliable. Because he lies to me.
Yep.
He lies to me and then tells me he lies to me.
Frequently.
Which I appreciate his honesty about.
All right. Life of Pi is really about the darkness of human nature and in nature itself. And whether or not faith absolves to that to some degree. Richard Parker is the essence of that. A creature of Pi's faith that in reality also Pi himself in flashback sequence. The tiger envelops both the light and darkness inherent in nature and in humanity.
This is weird. I don't agree.
I'm going to keep going. Is Richard Parker just an animal, or does he have a soul? Is Pi just an animal, or does he have a soul? The question actually becomes the same after reveal at the end. We assume the opposite about each, but when they are the same character for the purposes of the two versions of the story, the question becomes mixed, and that's the real question about humanity and nature at large in this film, in my humble opinion. I disagree. It has nothing to do with nature.
I think it does have to do with nature. I mean, because man is an animal, but unlike the other animals on the planet, we have the dual burden of instinct and rationality. So we are the only animal on the planet that fights instinct.
I don't think this was a matter of instinct, though. I don't.
I think the tiger represents his instinct. And as much as the tiger represents the savage parts of his nature that kept him alive and were the things he did to stay alive, that's a very animalistic...
In that way, yeah.
Survival instinct.
Yeah.
So
okay, in
to
that
say
way,
that the tiger
yeah.
is evil or the bad parts of him, I think, is somewhat disingenuous. When you're put in a situation where you have to do terrible things to survive...
That then becomes the choice of whether you do those terrible things or not.
The choice ends up being, am I going to give in to my survival instincts as an animal, or do I take, you know, the enlightened, I'm a rational human being who can fight my instincts and choose to do an action that's not that.
It's unfortunate that we didn't get to see that struggle.
You kind of do.
You kind of do.
Because the tiger walks away from the boat and he doesn't.
Yeah. You kind of do, but I guess that's the whole point of the struggle with the tiger after everybody else is gone.
Mm-hmm.
He is literally struggling with what he's done.
Right.
All right. It's true that faith is a big part of the film. Whether or not there is a god, which religion to belong to, whether animals have souls, whether his father, a pragmatist, is right about modern medicine saving a man instead of God. But all those questions are just a setup for Pi's character, which is a setup for the bigger question. Is human nature inherently good or evil, and does the gloss of faith and stories that are better or more palatable justify humanity when it is also capable of such inherent evil? Are men any different than the tiger that killed the gazelle in the beginning, but might also have a soul?
Yes, I disagree with this.
I don't think that's what it's about.
I don't think that's what it's about either, because...
I think it's an interesting topic, but I don't think that topic plays into the movie.
I don't think religion is either rational or instinctual. So I don't like to say the religion plays a part in the duality of man's nature in that way. I don't think is genuine at all.
Well, I think what he says, though, is human nature inherently good or evil. And I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Yeah,
I don't think
that's a point of view.
Yeah, and I don't think that is explored in the movie.
I don't know that morality is subjective like that, but yeah, maybe.
I mean, by its nature, morals are subjective.
Perhaps.
Based on the individual's morals. My morals could be different than your morals.
Oh, I'm sure they
are. Both moral people, but there are
our own... includes the possibility that we could arrive at the same conclusions logically, and then they are not subjective. And they are quite objective.
Yes.
Of course. To arrive at the same conclusions objectively, we'd have to start from the same place subjectively, which I don't think is possible.
Yeah. I think the movie answers the question in some ways, Pi's family, but leaves us hanging in other ways. And so it goes with God, a coda that is a clever version of Pascal's wager, but is in some ways a wholly empty gesture in light of the main character's reveal. He believes in God because he chooses to, period. This is often considered the definition of transcendentalism to some degree. This may be admirable. Is it also delusional?
No, I think it's weak.
I think it's just what he chooses to believe.
It's how he sleeps at night because he can't rationalize the things he had to do.
Yes.
I think if you can confront your inner demons and say, hey, I murdered a dude to survive.
And that's how he chooses to rationalize it. Or at least that's the story he likes to tell other people because it makes other people feel more comfortable being around him. Which I think is an even more interesting question because he does go through the process of telling him the other story.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay, so now here's the interesting part because I'm back and I'm safe, but there were also these other guys who wanted me to tell them this story and they didn't believe it. So I told them basically the truth that there was no animals and there were just people on the boat and I had to kill somebody and it was terrible, but I survived and here I am.
I'm the only one telling the story.
He waited to tell that story. But he very deliberately told it. He could have completely omitted it because the proof that the guy came with And the proof that he had, which was, well, actually, no, Pi had it. The report from the insurance guys.
Well, the Ministry of Transport. It was, they were accident investigators.
Right, but their report.
Well, the dude had to press him.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a real story.
Yeah, but the story that shows up in that report is that he spent all that time on the boat with the tiger. So all proof of the story is what I'm choosing to think is the fake story. It's the story that lets everybody else be more comfortable around Pi.
You know,
because otherwise it's
that?
Like you had to kill somebody to survive, which
you know
probably is okay.
That?
But some people would be freaked out by that.
There's so much more evidence to point to the tiger story, and we choose to believe the other story.
I know. That is kind of funny. That is kind of funny.
I just take it on faith, Tony.
Because that story doesn't make me feel good because I don't believe it.
It doesn't make me feel good because I don't think that's how it happened.
Right. And he tells, I mean, he gives us the nudge and the wink that says, which one do you think? Which one makes you feel better about this? Which then he then puts forth that's his belief system.
Yeah.
But makes me feel better.
But the ministry,
to know that they're to believe in God, so I believe in God.
That's a weird argument.
It's a weird argument. What's funny is that he's very honest about it. When some people believe that for exactly that reason, but they will never say it out loud.
Well,
he's just honest about it.
Well, one of the things
does that make him better, or does it just? It's an interesting question.
Well, one other thing too is the Ministry of Transport guys are not really there to validate whether his story is true or not. They're there to find out why the ship sank, since he's the only survivor.
Right.
Definitely. I mean, he's just telling them his story, and he says you can choose to believe it or not.
It's like the end of Battlestar Galactica. God did it. Oh, come on. Spoilers. God.
I was okay with that, though.
Stop it.
Yep.
I was actually okay with that story.
That was like the reverse Life of Pi.
It was.
We have a rational story we're going to tell you that has a conclusive ending because
we
have a plan.
You, we keep telling you that it's about God, even though we keep proving it's not.
Yeah.
And then guess
the
what?
End,
it really is.
And then in the end, yeah. That
we kept telling you.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. What story do you believe? Oh, are you kidding me? Come on. God. Carol Thrace, come on! I saw her in a commercial for a new TV show where you get her to get hit by a bus.
Again?
Yeah. Slightly less than I wanted Andrea from Walking Dead to die.
Mm.
Slightly less. Yeah. I got a lot of ire towards blonde women who are, I don't know, too manly on shows. I don't know. You don't even know what I'm trying to say by this.
That you're a sexist pig?
No. I think they're worthless characters independent of their gender.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with strong food. Buffy, I like Buffy. She was strong and sarcastic and an asshole, but she was useless. That was the key.
She actually killed vampires.
Yeah, she had a cohesive storyline. Andrea made terrible decisions. Kara Thrace was an awful Deus Ex Machina plot device that should have been killed twice.
And she was?
She was only killed once.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, she died a second time when her second life ran out.
She just kind of
went
away.
Yeah, but you don't see that.
Yeah. Just disappears.
Goddamn, Baltar was awesome.
Baltar was awesome.
Banging every.
I love the. Have you seen the Friends intro for Battlestar that's going around? Somebody did it to the Friends theme song with like all the scenes where they're goofing around and stuff.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty spectacular.
Tony, I wanted more tiger in this movie.
I was okay with the amount of tiger that was in this movie.
I really liked that tiger.
The tiger was pretty cool. It was an interesting personality. It had a personality, and that was good.
Yeah,
that
was really good. Anthropomorphic personality.
Favorite scene? When he jumps on the boat and pisses all over the tarp. This is my area! This is my... The tiger just looks at him, turns around, and sprays him. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great.
And does saltwater get tiger piss out?
You can only hope.
Well, you got an ocean of it there to dilute it.
Like when they got to the carnivorous island, and then the tigers went ape shit. Like
eating the Mary cats.
Hungry cats. That was awesome. That tiger was so happy.
Tiger just walked up, crunch, snapped it. That's great.
It's like being in a kidney candy store after eating fish for almost 200 days.
Yeah, the carnivorous island
was silly. But
it was silly. And, like, the fact that he found the one tooth, like,
that one tooth in that one place he looked. It's
God really? Didn't tell me.
It was meant to find.
Hey man, so I went to El Maguey yesterday. I kid you not, there was a hand drawing of a tiger on the wall, and I took a picture of it just for this recording. I could not resist. Like, whoa, somebody here watched Life of Pi last night. Man. I don't know. So basically, those were my big bitches with the movie.
All right, so
philosophically, I disagree with his movie and his weird assertions. But that's Ang Lee.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, this movie sometimes is like a poor man's Hulk. The tiger is Bruce Banner. Or the tiger is the Hulk.
The tiger is the Hulk.
Pie is Bruce
Banner. He's just not understood.
I'll tell you, I want to see more of old Pie.
The guy was in the new Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. He was the dick guy who's gonna poison the veterans.
Yeah.
So I like hilarious that guy. Story about that. There's a dude. There's an international sales guy who works for one of my biggest clients, and that guy looks just like that guy. So every time I see him. And another dude who works in that building looks just like Tom Hardy.
Oh
so
wow!
So it's like that guy and Bane like, all day long. It's a pretty
intense. Do you talk to him in the Bane voice?
I have talked to him in the Bane voice. In fact, he didn't know who it was, and I made him look it up. I'm like, come on, man.
Wow.
What are you doing to me here? Stop it.
One thing, looking over the cast list there, it's interesting the number of actors that played Pi. And only one of them is a professional actor.
He was also the police inspector in Slumdog Millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well, Khan is a pretty international actor, so it's not surprising he's popping up all over the place. Now, the actor who played Pi in his teenage, Sharma, is his only movie he's ever done, and he's not done any since. In fact, he's right now going back to school studying philosophy again.
He's actually cast in a movie called Million Dollar Arm. It's in pre-production.
Okay.
It's in pre-production, so that doesn't really mean anything.
Mm-hmm. It's development hell there.
Yeah. Gerard Depardieu is the cook.
Now, strangely, I can't understand why Depardieu got a top billing in the cast, and he's only on screen for 5 minutes.
Because he did?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in the main. He's in the main credits at the beginning of the movie, and like he's only in a cameo role. Like, how the heck did that happen?
Interestingly enough, I'm looking at the movie poster that just has Pi standing on the boat with the tiger. There are no actors listed in the credits on that.
Yeah, but if the credits run in the beginning of the movie, he's there.
Yeah, he is.
And which makes no sense. Why was a guy who's only getting a cameo getting a top billing with all these others?
Because it's the only name anyone would recognize out of all of
these people. I kind of find it hard. That kind of hard to do. Gerard Depardieu is not a household name.
He is more
in the, my house.
Well,
yeah, he's a more household name than any of these other people.
Well, that's true. I mean, compared to the others, yes.
By comparison,
these are a lot of Indian and actors here, but they're some of the top ones in their field.
Yeah, but we're Americans. We don't.
I know. We don't see enough Bollywood. Which is, again, another interesting Ang Lee feature. I mean, he takes all these actors who are really unknown and really puts them out there.
86% of the tiger shots are CGI.
Not a surprise.
Now, surprisingly, Life of Pi did do very well at the box office, considering its rather large budget. And it almost took an Oscar if it hadn't been up. It lost it to Crash.
What?
Crash.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Well, the Academy Awards. Life of Pi nearly took Best Picture. It lost out to Crash.
No. Oh? No. It lost to Argo.
Argo. Okay. Oh, that was excuse me. Okay. I was looking at the wrong list of credits.
So, saying that there was probably another Ang Lee movie that lost out to.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't Brokeback.
It's
Hulk.
Hulk.
Yeah.
It's not Hulk. Hulk was not.
Hulk wasn't even. Hulk
although.
Never come close to being nominated.
Although Hulk had never been released. Ang Lee did fairly well in his in the director awards.
At one point, M. Night Shyamalan was attached to write and direct this project.
I cannot see M. Night Shyamalan doing this movie.
Really? I can.
I could.
I
can. No. And I can exceed. The problem with M. Night Shyamalan
being attached to this is that you would expect the reveal at the end. You're looking for it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I also kind of think that it would have been better because the seeds of the reveal would have been planted more firmly throughout the rest of the movie.
He is a lot better at...
Threading that in.
Yes, he is.
In fact, I kind of would have preferred that.
Yeah.
It would have been less ambiguous since there seems to be some disagreement about what happened. All in all, I generally like this
movie. Garfield was considered for the role of the writer, but Tobey Maguire was cast.
And yeah.
He filmed his scenes. Maguire was later replaced by Rafe Spall because the director thought that Maguire was too famous for such a small role. It would have been distracting.
But now he's in The Great Gatsby. Here's the thing about that. I actually kind of want to see that movie.
I do kind of want to see it because...
That's the worst thing about...
I remember being forced to read the book in high school, and it was terrible.
I hate the book so much.
And see, the thing is, I don't remember any of the book. Do you know how long ago I was in high school?
A fair amount of time.
15. Let's see. It was...
No, 20.
26?
Oh, Tony!
Yeah. This would have been in 86 or 87 I was made to read that book. So Tony, you were probably still in diapers when I read that book.
You were in high school about as long ago as I've been alive.
Yes. Well, literally.
I will turn 30.
You literally might have been in diapers when I read this
book. Yeah, I would have been 3.
The only time I read it.
I'll be 30 in 35 days.
Yes, I know.
Pondering that?
I'm aware of it. Thinking of what to get you.
Don't get me anything.
I already figured it out.
Just don't give me anything. I don't want anything. I already scheduled myself a client site, so I don't have to see anybody I know. Just gonna sequester myself and we'll just move past it. It'll be fine.
Oh, is it gonna be a Wednesday?
Fortunately, it's a Thursday. Fortunately,
oh, that means I can get some the day before.
If we run late,
it's true. I could. We won't start until 11:30.
The only way to be sure. Our episodes are never less than half an hour.
That's true.
They come in at half an hour sometimes. So all in all, this was the worst movie-going experience of my life, by the way.
Which was?
Life of Pi.
Really?
Yeah, so we saw it, and it was maybe like 2-3 weeks before it went out of theaters.
Mm.
Okay, so I thought we were going to be safe. So we cruise on down to Ronnie's, and there's like this 4 couples around us, and it is the worst. There's like this old, dumb pair of women in front of us, and then, like, anytime something happened, like, the tiger jumps out from the tarp. Oh! I knew the tiger was still on the boat! Oh, haven't you seen the movie poster? Seriously? Like, even if you know nothing else about the movie, like, you had to have seen the cover of the book or the movie poster or whatever. And so that was terrible, and they just kept talking, like, discussing the movie as it was happening. It's like, well, first off, nothing that's happening on the screen is complex enough for you to dissect right this moment. The only complexity of this movie comes in the last 10 minutes. Granted, it changes the context of a lot of the rest of the movie.
It does.
But guess what? For the other 2 hours, you don't need to discuss what's happening because it's pretty goddamn straightforward. There's a tiger. They're on a boat. It sucks. All right? So then this dude comes in and... God damn it, people with their nose maladies drive me up the goddamn wall. Like, Luke's thing really makes me want to kill myself. Like, just go to an ENT. I know what the problem is. You need to have your septum fixed. Just go there. Have it fixed. You're always, like, coughing mucusy grossness. And I hear you all the way over here, and you sound like you're dying.
Literally.
The people behind us wouldn't stop talking. The people on the other side of Melina stank.
Oh, man.
It was the worst movie going experience in my life.
I rented this movie and watched it.
Yeah, I'm jealous. If you came over to my place, we could have watched it in 3D.
Oh, you guys have 3D now?
3D TV. We have since we moved in. Have never used it. Because I think 3D movies are stupid.
Yeah, you could tell there was a few points in this movie that...
The flying fish.
That were 3D. I can see things like I imagine the underwater scene with him seeing the boat go down.
Would have been really good.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's a few limited scenes, especially with something that's that well shot.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty cool. The whale would have been pretty cool.
Same thing with Avatar.
Yeah.
Like, it's a pretty enough movie that you want that kind of visual enhancement.
So, Gatsby is in 3D.
Nope. That's weird. Rejection.
That'll add an extra dimension to its suckiness.
Lord of the Rings was good in 3D, too. Just saying. But I think that had to do more with the frame rate than it had anything else. The frame rate was The 3D was
Lord of the Rings crisp.
Or Hobbit.
Sorry. Yeah. The Hobbit was real crisp in 3D. It was good looking. I mean, like this awkward silence here.
This one. But the nice thing is it'll be gone because I'll truncate silence.
Truncate silence is the best.
Truncate silence. Anything greater than half a second is truncated to a quarter second. Boom. Every silence sounds natural. Unless we mention how long a silence is. Then it's like, that's weird because there was really no silence there.
That's how good we are. Johnny, I played the guitar for like an hour today.
I played for like an hour and a half the other night.
This is on your fingers?
The tips of my fingers. For one thing, it was like the first time
I feel like they're burnt.
Yeah, the first time I really played it. So they were gray from like the metal.
Mm.
And then, but yeah, they were pretty raw after that. So I had to stop playing for a little while.
So you built some, toughen up that skin on your fingers.
There's some calluses there. Yeah. Yep. I got nothing else to talk about this movie.
Yeah, me neither.
All in all, I thought it was a good movie.
I enjoyed the movie.
I don't know that I need to see it again, but I didn't regret renting it and watching it.
Propaganda might be a strong word, but here's my problem with this movie. This movie is too much of a deepity, as though it appears though there is some deeper meaning and significance to the story that is not actually there.
It,
like those goddamn sayings like, if you take zero out of good, you get God. No, that's stupid. Don't say that.
That's not a zero, it's an O.
Yeah, that's stupid. Don't say that. That's dumb. Like, there's no deeper significance to it. The banana. The goddamn atheist's nightmare. Stop it. Just don't. That's crazy. Don't talk like that.
Yeah,
if you want to believe in God, that's fine. But don't come up with crazy justifications like that. That's ridiculous.
This was the first film not rated PG-13 or R by the MPAA to win an Oscar for Best Director since Out of Africa. A gap of 27 years.
Out of Africa. That sounds like it should have been a PG-13 or R movie.
That would have been pre-PG-13.
Oh.
I think.
It's 1980s, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. They didn't add that one until about the late 80s.
Well, this would have been 86.
86? That was three.
All right. Next week we're doing Lincoln.
I'll show up in a diaper.
I don't know why. Is it because it's long?
What?
What?
He wore a big hat, I wore a diaper.
Okay.
That makes sense.
All right. I'll see you next time.
Goodbye.